It would be my desire and hope that you would know that we never take it for granted to have the privilege to gather together with you like this, to be a part of this fellowship and travel with you and to worship the Lord together, and now, of course, to come to this time of hearing from Him through His Word. So I'd like just to extend a welcome, add a welcome to that which has already been extended to you, but just indeed, I thank you. I thank you for your traveling with us and your co-laboring. God is good, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, a couple of items to take care of before we get into our time together in God's Word this morning. There's a ministry we support down in Guatemala. Greg and Jeanette Somerville are here, and they're right down front. Catch them afterwards and talk to them about their ministry. They'd love to talk to you about it. It's a neat ministry going on down there. But they're visiting with us, so welcome you guys. Good to see you guys. Good to see you guys. Secondly, for those of you who typically maybe greet us at the door, you might want to ask where Kathy is. And so rather than answer that a number of times, just letting you know that she's home ill. She's been fighting quite a bug. But yesterday they put on some antibiotics, and hopefully she'll be better soon. For those of you who should be mindful of it, particularly all you ladies that are in the women's ministry with her and all, keep Kathy in prayer. As you know, starting tomorrow is the big National Pastor's Wife, Calvary Chapel Pastor's Wife Conference, of which she's on the board and is active at, and she looks forward to so much. But with this illness, you know, I just pray the Lord would touch her, let her be able to enjoy it, and serve as she desires to do. So if you think about it, especially ladies, lift Kathy up in prayer over the next couple days. And of course, I have to make reference to the going home of Pastor Chuck. You notice in the bulletin there we mentioned that. But many of you, most of you understand, maybe you don't know Pastor Chuck or don't know of Pastor Chuck, but then again, many of you do. He's a man. He was a man that God simply had chose to do a work, do an awesome work. Pastor Chuck Smith is the man that God used to begin. He was the founder of, if you want to call it, well, the Lord's the founder, but the Lord used Chuck to raise up the ministry of Calvary Chapels, which has been so just God has blessed and blossomed into what God has made it today. But this last Thursday morning at 3 in the morning, he got home. He went home. And we just, Kathy and I sat under Pastor Chuck's teaching for a lot of years, 20-some years. And then I had the privilege of he invited me to be on staff there as an assistant pastor under Pastor Chuck for a number of years. Kathy was the only woman that we know of he's ever hired to counsel with the ladies and all he brought on board there. So we'll miss him. We'll miss him. But he's home. And no work should ever be founded on a man. It's founded on God, and it will continue. But we're going to miss him. You know, both my spiritual fathers are home with the Lord now. And I'm not sure what that means, except as I reflect, it must mean I'm next. And so, but I look forward to that day when I get home and they say, welcome home to me. But, you know, it's interesting. You don't have that resource to go to like you might typically or you get used to. And so anyway, Chuck is home, and thank God for the ministry through him. Well, in many ways, I could choose to maybe honor the memory of Pastor Chuck and my other spiritual father. But I suspect that if they had their way, they'd say, don't talk about us, preach it. So let's go to it. 1 Samuel chapter 18. They'd say, preach the word. The ushers are coming down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. They'll pass a Bible to you. It's yours to keep if you need it. Now let's all turn now. Remember, we're going through the Bible. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel. And we're chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to begin in our focus verses, then we'll go back and kind of set the context. 1 Samuel 18, let's start at verse 10. 1 Samuel 18, verse 10. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times. But there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. I know that God wants to do something in many lives here today. We have set before us this morning a very challenging passage of Scripture. Saul, the first king of Israel, has reached the point in his life where he's throwing spears at David. Why? What has brought Saul this low? That's our first challenge. But there's another question that all this sets before us, and that is this. What will David do in response to it. I mean, here's a man who has spears being chucked at him. What will he do about it? This morning, as we consider Saul, as we consider David, may God help us see, is there a spear in our hand? I hope that question will become meaningful to every one of us as we see why I put it that way. I've called our time together this morning, the spear in my hand. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks. Lord, I just want to pause and say thank you for the work, the ministry that you raised up and did through Pastor Chuck. Thank you for that assurance. We know where he is. He's home. How we thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, though, that you're still at work. Thank you that you're at work here. That there is something you want to do in each of our lives. Lord, keep away the distractions, I pray. Help us hear what you'd say to our hearts today. And I know, there's some drawing to you. There's some dealing with things that you'd have us to do. So, Lord, work as only you can work. Cause the Holy Spirit to move amongst us and move within us to the end that your will would be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to begin by just picturing these two men as they face each other. Saul on one side, David on the other. They could hardly be much different from one another. Consider Saul for a moment. He was indeed the first king of Israel, but he was a total failure. As far back as 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, it said this. It says that God has declared of him, of Saul, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you've not kept what the Lord commanded you." Saul had one thing that God had asked. God had raised Saul up, and God said, "Saul, here's what I want you to do. Just obey me. I want to still rule over these people, but I've given them this king they think they want. It's you, but just obey me." But Saul wouldn't do it. He did not obey the Lord. And because of Saul's disobedience to God, we read in chapter 15, starting at verse 26, this. "But Samuel said to Saul, 'I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel.' And as Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe, and it tore. So Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you.'" He wouldn't obey, so God went looking. God went looking for a man after God's own heart. He found that man in David. Chapter 16 reveals that God found the man after his own heart in David. Well, now here they stand. They face each other. And I want us to go look at the particular moment in verse 11. It tells us, "And Saul cast the spear, for he said, 'I will pin David to the wall.'" I want you to be right there in that moment. The spear has been thrown. It's embedded in the wall, if you will. David's about to flee and get out of there. But I want you to picture that scene right now. The spear is in the wall, so to speak. What would God have for us from this whole picture set before us this morning? Know this. This is about a whole lot more than spears. It's talking about hearts. To set the stage, go back to verse 5 with me now. We're in 1 Samuel 18. But look at verse 5. We're going to kind of set the plate. "So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, it had happened as they were coming home, when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women had come out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced, and they said, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Uh-oh. "Then Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed only thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' So Saul eyed David from that day forward." So, at this point, Saul sees in David the probable successor to the throne. And Saul is threatened by that. He's jealous of David. As he sees these things coming to pass, he has this reaction, jealousy. But not only jealousy, look at verse 12 now, right after the focus verses, but look at verse 12. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but it departed from Saul. As Saul sits there, he is a picture of what jealousy and fear and insecurity and anger can do to a person. Question, as we sit here this morning, what choices have we made to the events of our lives? Is there any chance that because of things that were said or done or what you've gone through, is there any chance that we are holding jealousy, envy, resentment towards anybody this morning? Perhaps this morning you're single, and you look around those that are married, and you find yourself jealous of those who are married. You're lonely. You're wishing you had someone to kind of travel through life with and enjoy that companionship and all. And you look at those who are married, and perhaps this morning, truth be told, you're jealous of them. Or perhaps you're married, and you're looking at those that are single, and saying, oh, if I wasn't saddled with these responsibilities, if I just didn't have to cook those meals or go, whatever you might be saying. And you, oh, if I could just be single again. Down deep, part of you may be jealous. Perhaps you're jealous of someone's job. Maybe you're jealous of their career. They seem to get ahead and they have that great job and you don't. Perhaps this morning you're jealous, angry about a promotion that the other person got, but you're sure you should have. You deserved it, they got it. Maybe you're jealous and angry and all about people's possessions. They have all these cool things and you don't have them, can't afford them. Look at their house, look at their car, look at that boat. Maybe you're jealous about somebody's possessions. Maybe you're jealous about somebody's ministry. You have a heart to serve the Lord, but he hasn't shown you any place. And you look at that fellowship and that group or whatever, oh gosh, and you become jealous if you're truthful about it. Perhaps you're jealous of someone's influence. They seem to have such, they speak, everybody listens. I speak, nobody listens. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe you're jealous and of someone's popularity. Everybody seems to know them. And they come in, everybody greets them. Nobody even notices I come or go. Truth be told, maybe there's insecurity and fear or jealousy, resentment this morning. Well, let's see where Saul's jealousy and his anger lead him. We already read it, but let's look at it now in its context. Verse 10, it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand, interesting, in the heart. In the hand of the man after God's heart, there's music in his hand. And the other guy's hand, there's a spear. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. This morning we face a very important question. Saul chose to react to the circumstances of his life with jealousy, with fear, with anger, with envy. And his jealousy and his anger and all led him to pick up a spear and throw it at David. Saul reacted by becoming a spear thrower. This morning, let God speak to our hearts. Is there any chance we have become a spear thrower in some way? Not a literal spear, but you'll see what I mean in just a moment. For the question becomes, how have we reacted to the circumstances of our lives? Please personalize this morning. Have you reacted to what you've seen happen in other people's lives and the events that have gone on compared to your own? Have you reacted to your circumstances with envy, with jealousy, with anger, resentment? What choices have you made as you've looked around? I invite you right now, look more closely. What have your choices made you? Based on what's happened, what other choices in turn made you? Do you sit here this morning, truth be told, is there some resentment stewing? Is there some bitterness? Some envy? Are you resentful at all? Look at your hand. In love, I would just encourage you. Look at your hand. Not your literal physical hand, but this morning, may God help us look at the hand of our heart, so to speak. Look closely at the spear in your hand. What do you mean, Pastor? What spear? The one you throw at your mate, at your coworkers, the one you throw at your boss or whoever. Look at your spear. Do you throw spears of hurtful words, attacks, put downs, gossip? Is there a spear in your hand right now where you secretly delight when things don't go well? Now look what's happening to him. What's the spear in your heart right now, in the hand of your heart? Think about it a moment. What is jealousy? Isn't it made up of a lack of trust in God? If we are jealous of someone else, then we don't really believe that God has the best plan for us. For in jealousy, we're saying, God, I want that plan. I think your plan for them is better than the plan you have for me. Can we trade plans? I want a different plan here. Isn't jealousy rooted in the fact that we don't trust God? And on the heels of jealousy, of course, comes covetousness. They go together. Because if you're jealous of someone, you're saying, I want what they have. I would rather have them. I'd be better off with what they have, the hand they've been dealt, so to speak. And when it comes to covetousness, that's about our heart. That's not about the other guy's heart. That's about our heart. So focused on the other guy's plan that we can't enjoy God's plan for us. But you know, if that's where you're at this morning, then God in his love would respond to you as he responded to Peter. I want to read at the end of John's gospel. You can just listen or you can turn there if you'd like. But I'd like to read out of John chapter 21 for just a moment. It's the very end of John's gospel. Let me get over there. By this point, at the very end of John's gospel, the setting is this. Jesus has already been crucified. He's risen from the dead. He has now met with the apostles up by the Sea of Galilee. And there's that awesome interaction where Peter is restored to ministry. Remember, Peter had denied he knew the Lord. Well, now there's that threefold questioning and answering. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. It's the restoration of Peter back into ministry and all. But then we read this very important account, starting in verse 18 of chapter 21 of John. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. And then it says, most assuredly, I say to you. So this is Jesus speaking to Peter. When you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. What's he talking about? This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Well, Peter being Peter, says then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? That's a long sentence, meaning he turns around and sees John. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Jesus tells Peter, here's what's going to happen. Here's what life is going to hold for you. And he gives him a little synopsis there. Well, Peter turns right away and said, well, what about him? What about John? See, we can do that. Well, what about them? And how come he? And why she? And how come me? But the Lord says, what's that to you? You follow me. Do I trust his plan for me. The spears reveal whether we do or we don't. You trust Jesus for your salvation? Awesome. It's the only way to get to heaven. But now, if you've done that, trust him for the journey home. If you can trust him for eternal life, you can trust him for this life. Now, having looked at Saul and what a spear thrower he was, I want you to hold that thought for a moment. Because I want us now to look at this whole thing from the other side of the equation. I want to look at this from another view, and that is, I want to look at this in light of David's response. We've considered, been challenged to consider, if perhaps we've become a spear thrower like Saul in some way. But consider this. What does David do when this spear is thrown at him, when the attack comes his way? Another question. What would you do if you were David? What would you do if you were David? Better yet, what do you do now when it happens? Pastor, people aren't throwing spears at us. Oh, they aren't. Remember what spears represent. What about those spears of harsh words that have been thrown at you? What about those hurtful, damaging words that were thrown at you? What about the gossip that was thrown our way? What about the lies that have been thrown? What about the rejections that come our way? What about events that go some way we wish they had gone differently? What about those spears that are thrown at us? We indeed have spears thrown at us all the time. What has it made you? What have you done with those spears? What do you do with spears when someone lies, when someone gossips, when a hurtful thing occurs, when something happens, throws a curveball at you, someone throws a spear at you? What do we do with spears? We all know what to do with spears, don't we? You throw them back, right? You throw them back at people. We claim our rights. We demand justice. We return what was given because, after all, they started it. They've got it coming. You start it, I'm going to finish it. Give it right back. Don't put up with that. Claim your rights. You don't deserve this. You deserve better. And you know what's interesting? When we do that, many others will indeed agree with us that we did the right thing. You shouldn't have put up with that. You're right to throw that right back at them. Throwing the spear back will even please some people. But does it please God? And therein becomes our next focus. Notice what David did in our text here. In verse 11, and I'm back in 1 Samuel 18, in verse 11 at the end, it says, but David escaped his presence twice. This isn't the last time, by the way, that this kind of thing happens. If you go over to chapter 19, verse 8, it says, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines and struck them with a mighty blow, and they fled from him. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Saul as he sat at his house with his spear in his hand. And David was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away from Saul's presence, and he drove the spear into the wall. So David fled and escaped that night. So what did David do? He didn't return what was given to him, did he? He didn't attack back. Why? Because David had what God called a heart after God's heart. God, I'm going to let you set the pace of my life, not this other person, not the circumstance, not what was said or done or anything else. I'm not giving the power of me to somebody. I'm going to keep giving that power to you. David was a man after God's own heart. Therefore, he didn't return what was thrown at him. See, David understood that it's God who raises up kings and takes them down. He understood that Saul was God's anointed, and we're going to see later on that David will more than once refuse to lift his hand against Saul. David responds to these spears by refusing to throw them back. Now to that you might say, well, of course, he's David. He's in the Bible. Of course, he has the strength to not throw a spear back, to not attack back. He has a special anointing. No, you also, you have the Holy Spirit, believer. You're not going to be able to do any of this on your own power, but as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. This isn't just some special calling to David. It applies to all of us. Do you doubt that? This one I do invite you to turn to. Go all the way to 1 Peter. Again, you don't have to, but I encourage you to see this, that it's not just me. 1 Peter is towards the, not the very end, but towards the end of the New Testament there. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll jump into verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, what endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Sounds like we have the power and we have the calling to do this. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. What did he do? Stuff it? Eat it? That's not healthy. No, that's not what it said, is it? It says he didn't give back what he got. He did not threaten, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He gave it to God to handle, who himself bore our sins. This is about Jesus, who bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. A whole lot there, but just notice this. If I pick up the spear, that thing, I mean, if I take on the attitude, if I respond in kind, if I pick up the spear and throw it back, then I have become a Saul. I become just like Saul. I become like those who are attacking me. But if we're born again, we're called to a much higher response. Hearts after God's heart don't throw spears back. They hand them to God. No, you don't have to hang on to it and let it eat you up and go around. No, you have an alternative here. But a heart after God's heart doesn't throw a spear back. They give it to him who judges righteously. Lord, you can take care of that. You know the truth. I'm going to keep tracking with you. They're not going to have that power over me. That's not going to set the pace in my life. I give that to you. Paul says in Romans 12, 17, repay no one evil for evil. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I know the flesh doesn't understand this. The world won't agree with it, but it's a spiritual truth, believer. In God's economy, it's better to have a spear thrown at you than being the one doing the throwing. That's God's economy. That's the challenge for us this morning. See, in God's ways, and I know this sounds strange, but it's so true. In God's ways, it's better to be the one that people are talking about than the one doing the gossiping. Because God knows, and God will comfort. But when I say, Lord, but I'm not going to go to their level. See, you're better off being the one they're talking about than the one doing the talking. Now, having said all that, let's let the Holy Spirit do some application at this point. For some of us, as we sit here this morning, maybe we realize that we have become like Saul. We've reacted like Saul. Don't answer out loud, but let's be really upfront with God right now. For in his love, he wants to deal with something. But before he can deal with it, there has to come acknowledgement and repentance and a casting upon him. And oh, thank God there's forgiveness and all, but we got to begin right there. This morning, do you have resentment against someone? Truth be told, is there someone you're jealous of? You wish you had their situation? Is there somebody you have envy going on? Are you bitter this morning about some things? Are you hard of heart this morning? Maybe you sit here and you realize that you've responded to your circumstances by picking up the spear and throwing it back. You have been a spear thrower. You've given what you got. You threw it back. You've gossiped. You've taken on the attitude that they're going to pay. But I pray this. I pray that you also realize this now. That isn't what Jesus has for you. That's not what God would have for you, believer. There's something higher. He has better for you. And so in a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do something about the fact that you've been a spear thrower. But I want to now deal with this from the other side as we looked at. You may not be like a Saul. Maybe you sit here this morning and you totally relate to David's side of this thing. The spear has been thrown at you. That thing was said to you or about you. That action was taken towards you. And now you sit here. What will you do with that spear that was thrown at you? Wham, it's in the wall. It found its target, so to speak, or just missed. Its point is, it's been thrown at you, this attack, this gossip, whatever it was, this situation, whatever it was. It's come your way now. What will you do with that spear? Maybe you see that in your own way, there is a spear in your hand also, in the hand of your heart. You haven't thrown it back. It was done to you. It was said to you. Now you got it. You're holding on to it. That wasn't right. That wasn't fair. It hurt. Whatever it was, you've got it now. Now what will you do with that? Will you let it make you what it made a Saul? Will you throw it back? Will you become a spear thrower? What are you going to do about it? Oh, you haven't thrown it, but you're holding on to it just in case. Just in case. I don't know. And so there it is. There it is. There's that spear. What will you do about it? You know, spears can seem so justified, so okay to hold on to and kind of keep that there. But down deep, you know it isn't getting you anywhere good to hold on to the spear. It's blocking you from all that God has for you. How can you hold the Lord's hand very tightly when you've got a spear in your hand instead? How could I hand you something? If I have something that I want to give you, and I go to give it to you, and you reach out your hand, but you've got something in your hand, what would I say? I'd say, well, you got to put that down. Get that out of your hand so I can put it into your hand. And God would say that to you. I want to give you this. I have blessings. I have the peace and joy you're really seeking. I have these plans for you. I have this for you. Put your spear down. Drop your spear so you can receive. How are you going to hold his hand tight while you're holding on so tightly to resentment or envy, that spear that's in your hand today? I wonder if the Lord's speaking to someone's heart even now. This morning, do you see that you have a spear in your hand? Isn't it time to lay that spear down, to give it to Jesus? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a moment here. Tim, why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. I'm going to invite you right now. I extend an invitation to every one of us. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come lay your spear down at the altar. Some of you are gathering up your belongings. We're not done. Please. Think about this. I want you to come and lay your spear at the altar. Let go of your jealousy this morning. I'm going to invite you to quit wishing you had the other guy's plan. Seek forgiveness for the anger. for the envy, for the gossip, for the attitude that has been your spear. I'm going to invite you in just a moment to come up and stand here. It's going to represent that you are saying, God, I'm going to give you this spear. Come up and say, Lord, forgive me. Thank God there's forgiveness. I always rest in that fact that Paul said that he was chief sinner. I always thought I was first in that line, but he claims first. I'm right there behind him in line. Well, you get to jump in line this morning too. Thank God there's forgiveness. But we have our part in that. Do you recognize you've been a spear thrower in life? You've gossiped. You've attacked. You've thrown back. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come up and lay your spear. That means it's going to represent you're giving him your attitude. You're giving him that anger. You're seeking forgiveness for whatever has brought you to that to this point, whatever's gone on. Again, don't worry about what the spear is the other guy's laying down. No one's going to have to say anything. It's between you and God, but we're going to do that. But just look. Just look this morning at the spear in your own hand. For maybe you've been a spear thrower. Maybe you haven't. Maybe this is about the one you're considering throwing. Maybe this is about the spear you're considering throwing. What am I going to do with what was said? That right now you're wondering, maybe I should attack or give back or whatever it might be. So now you sit here, there, spear in hand. Jesus stands in front of you. And he's saying, will you give me that spear now so I can give to you what you really, really hunger for and need? Will you hand your spear to Jesus this morning instead of throwing it? I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that right now. Will you commit to God your spear and let him take care of it and you? It's time. It's time to lay your spear at the altar. That's what altars are for. That's what coming up front represents. Now, this is just you and Jesus. You handing your spirit to God. If it's helpful, physically just picture it. God, here. I drop this at your feet. I give this to you. And him giving you forgiveness and peace in its place. So I'm going to invite you now. Just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you to come and bring your spear to him. This morning, leave it here. Heavenly Father, believing, Lord, that you're speaking to hearts, reveal your love, speak deeply of your answers, and I pray that even now, Lord, there'd be a whole bunch of spears left here for good this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to make that step, give him this. Cast down your spear. Don't throw it. You've been a spear thrower. Come up front. I want to say a word of prayer for you. I'm not going to do some big emotional appeal. Tim's not going to sing words. He's just playing, give us a little background. But you know if you need to give him some spears in your life. You've been a spear thrower. You need to repent of it. Or a spear's been thrown at you and you're wondering what to do with it. This is the time to give him the envy, the resentment, just all of that. And give him how upset you are. Just ask for forgiveness if you've thrown him. And if you haven't, but you're thinking about it, you're going to give it to him instead. By coming in front, you're saying, God, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to go out here and not be a spear thrower anymore. I'm not going to throw this resentment. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to attack. I'm not going to speak ill of someone. Instead, I'm giving it all to you. I'm going to quit letting them set the pace. God, I give you my spear. Come up front. The passage in 1 Peter is that passage in which he recorded how Jesus said, don't revile. The Lord taught us, so Peter's teaching us there, to don't revile when you've been reviled and to not give back what you've been given, but instead commit everything to the Lord. Don't be a spear thrower in a sense. Don't be like that. If we were to turn right now to that passage in 1 Peter 2, after setting that example before us of don't revile back when you've been reviled, don't become a spear thrower when someone has thrown a spear. Do you know if we went there right now, do you know what the very first application was of that Peter made? Wives, in the same manner, and it starts speaking to wives. And then in verse 7 it goes, and husbands, in the same manner, love your wives. Husband, wife, even throwing spears at your mate, spears of criticalness, put downs, they're going to pay. Husband and wife, do you have a spear to lay down? Don't be working your elbow on your mate. This morning, maybe you're a husband or a wife that, you know what, I've thrown some spears in this marriage, or at least I'm just wondering, is it time, husband, is it time, wife, to put down the spear in your hand? Come up and join the group here. Let me say a word of prayer for you. Anybody that applies to. I think about how much this is on my heart we've looked at this morning, and I realize how much it must be on God's heart, far more than mine. And frankly, this is something that's really, really, as I approach this morning, I really prayed, Lord, speak to all of us about this. Because I see what a rip-off spears are and how much they don't represent the Lord and how they get in the way of what he wants to do in our lives. And if you're sitting there and you can really say you've never thrown a spear that you need repentance for, great. If you can sit there and say, oh, I don't have any spirit, I'm never tempted, then okay. But if it applies, take that step of letting it be applied that you might receive the healing, the forgiveness. Give him just pictures of, Lord, take this spear and give me your peace back. What a great thing to do. I want us all to leave here at peace and carrying no more spears. Got to give it one more moment to come on up. If this isn't a receiving the Lord time, this is a believer time, give him your spears. Cast them on the altar time. I'll say one more thing and then we'll say a word of prayer. In David, God had found a man after his own heart. God is still looking for men and women after his own heart. Oh, how we want that set of us, don't we? Not that we're perfect. We know in this life we'll always be under construction. But we have that goal, Lord, I want a heart after your heart. In the midst of all my struggles, oh, make me a person who has a heart after your heart. Well, how can I know? How can we know if we have that kind of heart? How can we know if we have a heart after God's heart? One way is this. What do we do with spears? It's about hearts. Heavenly Father, these have come forward, maybe for various reasons, circumstances. Bottom line, Lord, in your love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you spoke to each one's heart about something. Perhaps for some, they are here to confess they've been spear throwers. They gave back what they got, maybe worse. They entered into some gossip, backbiting, attacking, criticalness, Lord, that things have made them hard and bitter, envious, jealous, whatever it is. But Lord, thank you that you don't leave us there, but you drew to you each one. Thank you for that, Father. Lord, there's prayers they need to pray that I can't pray for them. Help them take time to do that even today. But right now, Lord, I can lift them to you. Lord, praying, help each one now. Help them to give you that spear. Help them to receive the forgiveness. Help them to see it like you do, Lord. With your great eyes of love and mercy and grace, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness. Forgive us if we've been spear throwers. And Lord, for those who came up because they are holding on to a spear, things were said or done, and they're so tempted to throw it back, wondering what to do with it. Lord, they've come up now to give you that spear. So Father, in Jesus' precious name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help them now to just sort of picture in their hearts, they're opening their hands, they're dropping the spear at your feet even now. They're giving you that spear. They're giving you that attitude, that response. They're giving that to you. And I know, Lord, as they do, Lord, you will, and I pray for that you will flood them with the peace and the forgiveness and that reassurance that your plan is best because you love them. Even though they don't see right now that what's going on, We can know this, that you work all things for good. Lord, minister to each one. Whatever brought us to here, Lord, we give you these spears. We give you the spear of throwing. Take it all and do that work now, Lord. And I pray as we'll go out of here, Lord, we won't pick it up. Help us to leave them here. And as you work that work now, truly, may I give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, you may go ahead and return to your seats. You've been good Bible students. You've heard a lot this morning. I love how the Word of God speaks to our hearts and where we're at. If you need individual prayer, there'll be prayer partners over here by my far left, your right. As I mentioned, those of you who came forward or anybody, take time today sometime, get alone and pray that prayer only you can pray in. Make sure the spear is there. And you know what? The ushers will take care of all these spears I got left here today, though. But don't you dare pick it up. They'll get rid of them. You go out and hang on to him. Hang on to him. Not religion. Him. And all that comes with it. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, for you, we give thanks. For your word, we give thanks. For all that we have found in you, we give thanks. Lord, that we can go out of here and experience this awesome continuing fellowship, this abiding fellowship, and all the fruit that results, Lord, we give you thanks. Lord, many things tugging on many people, but you're the victory. You're the strength. Daily there, never leaving, never forsaking. How very good you are. So we thank you. And we thank you for your work in this time, in this place, in our hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May you go forth in the peace only God can give. And may there be peace if there's been a spear. Amen.